long-lasting damage from those tornadoes in the Southeast.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Residents across the Southeast are beginning the painful and expensive process of rebuilding homes, schools, and businesses after a storm system that spawned more than 200 tornadoes. Governors in North Carolina and Virginia both declared states of emergency, which is the first step in asking the federal government to help pay some of the costs. Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us live now from Durham, North Carolina, with the latest. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, tell us what happened.
Well, where I am in Durham, there were severe thunderstorms over the weekend. On Saturday, the sky got super dark and scary looking, but no tornadoes. But not too far away, and in tons of other places in the state, there were some major problems. About 62 twisters touched down and caused 21 deaths. More than 130 homes were destroyed, at least 700 badly damaged. In the state's capital, Raleigh, a big city, trees were downed and blocked major roadways over the weekend. And at a Lowe's home improvement store about 40 miles south of Raleigh, about 100 people had the scare of their lives when a tornado there ripped the steel roof off the store. Everyone was okay, though.
Wow. Well, what about the long-term damage, Janet?
Well, it looks like it's going to be pretty bad. The damage at Shaw University forced the school to cancel classes for the rest of the semester there. And North Carolina Governor Bev Perdue says K-12 schools were hit hard as well.
We saw two major school losses, one in Cumberland, one in Greene County. You're 6 weeks from the end of school, and people there are just trying to figure out what in the world they can do in the short term to have these children do what they need to do, and then in the long term, how they pay for the infrastructure to rebuild a school.
So it's going to be weeks before the final damage assessments are in, Jeremy, but repairs are probably going to cost in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Marketplace's Janet Babin in Durham, North Carolina. Thanks, and glad you're safe.
Thank you.
The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments tomorrow in a key global warming lawsuit. Six states and New York City want the right to sue power companies for their contribution to climate change. As Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, the case is putting the Obama administration in an awkward position.
We'll get to that awkwardness in a minute, but first, the case. This one started back in 2004 when George Bush was president and the Environmental Protection Agency had no desire to regulate global warming emissions. The plaintiffs, including Connecticut and California, hoped the federal courts would do it instead. They filed suit against American Electric Power and four other utilities that burn a lot of coal to make electricity.
These five companies are the biggest carbon polluters in the country. They are responsible for 10% of all the carbon dioxide from the United States and 2.5% of all the world's carbon dioxide.
The world's CO2 emissions, to be more precise. Plaintiff's attorney David Doniger says they're simply asking the courts to do what Congress won't, set a limit on how much CO2 these utilities can pump out of their smokestacks every year. That's an idea the Obama administration likes in theory, but the Justice Department is siding with the power companies on this one. Here's the awkward part.
One of the defendant utilities is the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Columbia University's Michael Girard says the federal government owns the TVA, so the Justice Department represents the utility at the Supreme Court. Girard says it's not that the feds want to let the TVA and other greenhouse gas emitters off the hook.
But they think that it's really up to the executive agencies and to Congress to set these emission standards, and that as long as that's happening, the courts shouldn't be setting these standards.
Of course, whether that's happening is debatable. The EPA is adopting greenhouse gas rules but hasn't come out with specific limits. Plaintiffs see this case as the ultimate backstop in the battle to stop global warming. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down this morning across Europe and Asia. Bad news for Portugal, which is asking for a bailout from Europe. An anti-bailout party made big gains in Finland's elections over the weekend. That matters because using EU funds for a bailout requires unanimous approval from Eurozone countries, including Finland. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 56 points to close at 12,341.
Get
Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Now to a court case involving a popular hair treatment. The Brazilian blowout company is being accused of lying about toxic chemicals in its products. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
The Brazilian blowout started as a Hollywood secret to smooth straight hair and became a craze at salons around the country. YouTube's full of testimonials.
$507. My hair is smooth and silky.
Takes out like the frizz and the poof.
It's just so soft.
But Stacey Malkin at the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics would like these customers to know.
We don't need to be putting cancer-causing chemicals on our heads in order to be beautiful.
Government tests found illegal levels of formaldehyde gas in salons that use Brazilian blowout. The company's ads say the treatment is formaldehyde-free. David Michaels at the U.S. Department of Labor says yes, when it's in the bottle.
When it hits the air, it becomes formaldehyde. So if you're nearby, you breathe formaldehyde.
His office issued a warning to salon owners to stop using the product, and several lawsuits have been filed around the country. All those cases will now be consolidated in Los Angeles. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to the royal wedding, which is less than 2 weeks away, Papa John's Pizza is celebrating with a pie that is a portrait of Prince William and Kate Middleton. Kate has black olive hair and a cheese dress. William has a suit made of pepperoni and peppers. Papa John's chief marketing officer says it tastes as good as it looks. You can judge for yourself at marketplace.org. Meanwhile, the New York Post reports NBC is cutting back its aggressive and comprehensive coverage of the wedding because the happy couple are too boring. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Oil is a finite resource, as in one day there isn't going to be any more. Just don't tell that to the folks who drill for a living.
The United States Geological Survey concluded that America would be out of oil by 1935. Well, they were wrong.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Tough Oil, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.